Ah, yes, Daniel. Very good. Close the door, would you? It's just the two of us today.
Puck, puck, puck. If ping-pong is your game, Friday night in the junior rec room is where the action's at its hottest. The table tucks like a clock gone crazy, as reigning champion Odysseus Antopopopoulos, in spite of a badly bitten ankle, continues to vanquish all comers. The weekend exodus of boarders has long since trickled to a halt. Of the remnants, some rush in and out of dorm rooms, spraying aftershave haphazardly, and hustling each other out into the evening. Others have found alternative means of entertainment.
Hey, Jeff, here's you this morning brushing your teeth.
Hey, look, there I am.
Hey, Victor, here's Barton Trelawney punching you in the head, remember?
Oh, yeah!
Mario, perched on a bench, is going through the video library on his phone.
Jeff, here you are again taking stuff out of your locker. Hey, Dennis, here's you telling me to stop filming you.
God damn it, don't you have any porn on that thing?
At that moment, the door opens, and Ruprecht enters the rec room, wearing school blazer, cufflinks, and generally sparkling from head to toe.
Hey, looking good, blowjob.
Where are you going, Ruprecht? Are you going to ask the nuns out on a date?
Diffusing a redundant cloud of hairspray over his whiffle, Ruprecht explains the latest variation of Operation Falcon, viz., to go over disguised as himself, Ruprecht van Doren, explain to the nuns that his science project, i.e. the pod, was thrown over the wall by bullies, and ask if he can please have it back.
Not bad,
Dennis considers.
That sounds like it could actually work.
The danger is that they might have seen me escaping through the laundry window,
Ruprecht says.
But it's a chance I have to take.
He examines himself in the mirror over the water fountain.
Gaylords!
Darren Boyce fires at the group on his way to the bathroom. As he's passing out the door, Skippy passes in. That is to say, suddenly he is there in the doorway. Though attended by such a palpable sense of weight, it's hard to imagine him actually moving anywhere, as if he's subject to some private gravity that makes it impossible to raise his limbs. In his hand, meaninglessly, is a frisbee.
Yo, Skipford, how was hamper packing?
Didn't let Father Green bum you, did you?
Hope you at least made him buy you dinner first.
Skippy drags himself over the threshold without reply.
Hey, what's with the frisbee, Skip?
What happened to your date?
She just called. Footsteps slouching zombie-like over the linoleum. She can't come out. She's sick.
Sick? What's wrong with her?
A shrug. She's got a cough.
Crap.
That sucks.
Maybe you could go up to her house and see her.
She didn't sound like she wanted me to.
Puh. Girls never tell you the truth about what they want you to do. That is lesson number one in dealing with girls. You should go up there right now and give her a big fat kiss.
Even if you can't kiss her, you could still feel her boobs.
Victor's right.
Mario concurs.
I'm no doctor, but I don't think anybody ever got sick from feeling a girl's boobs.
You're more likely to get sick from not feeling a girl's boobs,
Victor remarks, a little wistfully.
Though if you don't feel like it,
Jeff says, as Skippy does not seem much cheered by this.
You could just stay here. Why don't you put your name down for table tennis?
Or join me in a game of Russian roulette,
Dennis offers.
I play it with five bullets.
Or hey,
Mario opening his phone again.
Check this out, Skip. It's Jeff brushing his teeth, see? And there's a seagull on the rugby pitch, and the rugby pitch on its own without the seagull, and here's you coming through the door, remember that?
Mario, for God's sake, that was 3 minutes ago, of course he remembers.
Yes, but he has not seen the film of it.
Benders!
Says Darren Boyce, on his way back from the bathroom. Close your eyes, and the sky is full of burning planes. The night is caused by blank. It grinds its teeth. It scrapes its arms. The air feels like girl's hair. The moon is an eye rolled back in its head. Here is a nice lollipop for you, bitch. How do you like that? You thought you were so great. Now you better do what I tell you.
That's not what you say, Carl.
Janine's voice in his head, explaining the plan to him.
Say what I tell you to say. Then she'll do whatever you want.
The O, like a pink mouth, wide open, clamped round you, tight as a hand. Sweet and sore at the same time. Like cuts on your arm, the grey roof like craters of the moon. The sky, whooshing and wobbling like it's just snorted a big line. Do you like that, you slut? Do you like the taste? How many pills do you want for that?
What do you want her to do? You want her to suck your dick? Like this?
Oh my God. The plan works. She meets him, wrapped up in a hoodie and scarf.
I can't let Daniel see me.
It's been so long, tell her.
It's been so long.
And then, you look so beautiful.
You look so beautiful. She takes your hand. Her finger traces over the cuts like a tongue.
Why do you do that?
Because I am bored, you think. But instead you say, because I missed you. She starts crying.
Then tell her I love you. Like this. I love you.
Last night in Janine's granny's greenhouse. Is this part of the plan? A secret part? He didn't care.
I love you, Carl. I love you.
Doggy style, in dirt and plants and empty mini bottles of gin, with Vaseline to stop it hurting.
It still hurts.
Well, here is something that will hurt more. Bam! That is what she deserves. She puked gin into her granny's plants afterwards. You switched the heaters off so the flowers will die. I love you, you say.
Oh, Carl.
The plan works like a dream. The zip comes down.
I love you too.
Ha ha, you slut. The taste in your mouth is your friend's asshole. You win the prize. It's on its way. You don't say that. Around you, the night freezing, melting. The gook's slanty eyes at the end of a long black gun. The O, so bright, the whole sky burning with napalm. Everything smells like petrol. And with the sawn off, no, with a flamethrower, you take out the gook. He falls through the door with a burned-off face. And then up to the school, letting rip in the assembly. Bodies tumbling, eyes crying, blood. Everybody. Teachers. Nurse. Barry. Mark. Laurie. Daniel. No, wait, I have a special plan for you. She doesn't know. Shooting her in the face with the biggest gun in the world. Laurie's head pops up from between your legs, making a choking noise, and she twists about, reaching around for her bag, dribbling globs of jizz onto your jeans that are diesel. She has a Kleenex in her hand. Is she just going to spit it out? Your left hand zips out and grabs her jaw. She wriggles about, going, till finally you hear the gulps, and you see her throat go up and down, and release her back into the seat to wipe her eyes, sobbing.
Why did you do that?
Your head's so heavy and sleepy now.
Why do you have to be such an asshole?
And then she sees the phone in your hand, and freezes, and her green-red eyes go wide.
What the fuck are you doing?
Nothing. You don't even look at her. And suddenly, like a wildcat, she's lunging over you and screaming at the top of her voice, and scrabbling, and scraping, trying to reach it, even though it's too late. Ha-ha! And you push her back and away, shouting at her at the top of your voice, shut up, bitch! Shut the fuck up, ho!
Hey, someone sent me a video message.
Mario exclaims, springing out of his seat.
Ha-ha! Up yours, Hoey! Someone sent me a video message! I told you this phone wasn't a waste of money!
Who's it from, Mario?
ID withheld.
Mario reads.
Whoever it is, though, he's got the good stuff. Check this out!
Four heads gather eagerly around the phone, knocking together like clunky moons.
Ho-ho-ho! This is a bit more like it!
What is it? I can't see!
Yeah, move over, Victor. Holy shit, hey, Skip, take a look at this.
The picture is fuzzy and dark, but there at the center, In a vortex of shadow, a pale, pixelated face may be seen attached to an anonymous penis.
Oh, this bitch is really chugging at the back.
That's my kind of woman,
Jeff says approvingly.
Isn't that your mom, Mario?
Fuck you, Hoey.
Fuck you. You can't see anything properly on your stupid phone.
Well, don't look then, and the rest of us will enjoy this porn.
She's hot. Like, it's hard to tell, but I'd say she's hot.
Shut up! He's about to... Here it comes. Oh, yes! Take it, bitch!
The money shot. Cheers mixed with disappointment.
Why didn't he do it on her face?
Some of it went on her face.
Yeah, but I'd totally do all of it on her face.
Oh, sure. When you're 100 years old and you finally crack open your penny jar and you go down to some skank on a street corner, is that it?
Play it again, Mario.
The crowd around the phone, now swollen to take in everyone in the room, shouting encouragement as the grainy face, no bigger than a fingernail, tentatively sets to work again.
Hey.
Someone, Lucas Rexroth, extends a finger.
What's that there in the background?
Where?
There, right there in the corner, see? That ring thing.
I don't know. A sign or something?
It looks sort of like...
But here comes the messy denouement again. And the boys cheer like they're at a senior cup match and Seabrook has just scored a try. It was 11 years ago tonight that Guido LaManche, Hawaiian-shirted pariah of Seabrook's graduating class, came into Ed's donut house and advanced his proposal.
They call it the bungee jump,
he said.
They've been doing it in Australia for years.
Why?
Farley asked.
What do you mean, why?
Why would you want to throw yourself off a cliff with elastic tied around you?
The donut house had opened just a few weeks before. The lights made Guido's olive skin shine as he turned to Tom and his entourage at the next table. Steve Rees, Paul Morgan, and a trio of soft-haired St. Bridget's girls, who looked like they'd just been taken out of their packaging, with a scoffing, palms-up gesture.
Because it's exciting, that's why. So that when you're a grey-haired old fart drooling into your soup, you'll have at least one thing to remind you that you're alive. Seriously, you've never felt a rush like this. It's like sex to the power of 1,000. That's a good thing, by the way.
He glasses for Farley's table, winning a laugh from the jocks.
It sounds dangerous,
one of the cashmere-clad girls said dubiously.
You're damn right it's dangerous. What's more dangerous than jumping off 1,000-foot drop? But at the same time, it's 100% totally safe. Because of the elastic rope and the harness, see? I've personally tested it out 50 times and it's absolutely foolproof. Although perhaps it's not for the ladies.
He directed another sly, theatrical glance at where Farley sits with Howard and Bill O'Malley.
Or all of the gents.
Guido LaManche, though he'd failed every exam he ever sat, was a bona fide genius when it came to the psychology of the adolescent male. Even when you knew he was playing you, it was nearly impossible to resist.
Well, where is it, so?
Farley said, bringing his coke down on the table with a thunk.
Why don't you show it to us, instead of just sitting here talking about it?
At this, Guido became demure, folding his hands like a chaplain.
If anyone thinks he's ready for the ultimate challenge, I will bring him to it personally right now. All I ask for in return is a small contribution toward expenses. Say, £20 a head?
£20?
Someone spat incredulously. But Farley was already on his feet. Howard grabbed his arm.
What are you doing?
I want to see this thing.
Are you mad?
It's not like there's anything else going on. We're just going to sit here all night and, let's face it, not talk to any girls. Anyway, you guys don't have to come.
Turning away, he fished around in his pockets till he found a £20 note.
I'm in,
he said, slapping it into Guido's palm.
All right. At least there is one brave man here tonight.
Tom, Steve Rees and the others looked at each other in consternation.
Don't go now,
a blonde voice pleaded.
It's like the North Pole out there.
But the shame of being outfaced by a nerd was too great, Already coats were being put on, scarves wound around necks. And the next thing Howard knew, he was wedged into the back of Tom's Audi with two of the blonde girls, cruising down the dual carriageway after Guido's moped.